Support for MPB comes from the Mississippi Museum of Art in Jackson. What Became of Dr. Smith by artist Noah Satterstrom is on view beginning April 20th. Learn more at msmuseumart.org.
This podcast is a local production of Mississippi Public Broadcasting and depends on the support of listeners like you. If you can, please donate today at mpbonline.org. And thanks.
Welcome to the Mississippi Arts Hour, a weekly conversation with creative Mississippians from across the state. I'm Sarah Story, the Executive Director of the Mississippi Arts Commission. And today we are joined by Adrian Brown David, who is a visual artist based in Water Valley, Mississippi. Welcome, Adrian.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. So for those who may not know, will you describe where Water Valley is in our state?
So Water Valley is a tiny little town of about 3,500, about 25 minutes south of Oxford, Mississippi.
So that's kind of, is that considered hill country, Mississippi yet?
Hill country.
Yeah. Close enough. it's a lovely little town though. I lived there from about 2009 to 2012.
Yeah, I like it. It's cute.
That's fun. So for those who don't know you yet, we just describe a little bit about yourself now in your life, and then we'll go backward and talk a little bit about your past and how you came to where you are today.
Well, I, like you said, currently live in Water Valley. We've been in Mississippi for 12 years now. I moved here when I was pregnant with my fourth daughter. So we live in Water Valley with just two of our daughters now, two are college age and have moved out and moved on with things in their lives. I am mostly a figurative painter. Right now I'm focusing mainly on portraits, but my work's always been figurative since I started painting. I just relocated to a studio outside of my home for the first time ever, which is pretty great. So I can produce a lot more work and a lot bigger work than I could when I was off the little room in my kitchen. And yeah, that's about it. I live here with my husband and our two kids and dog and three cats. Whatever other animals my youngest child brings in our house.
That's pretty fun. Yeah, I got to see your studio a couple weeks ago and it's pretty nice.
Yeah, it's been great so far. As long as it doesn't rain super hard,
yeah,
then things are pretty good.
That's good. Well, great. So tell us a little bit about where you're from. Where did you grow up?
Well, I'm originally from St. Louis, Missouri, and I lived there until shortly after I turned 21. My entire family is there. My grandparents live there. So like third generation St. Louisan. And then in 2000, shortly after my 21st birthday, I moved to St. Croix in the U.S. Virgin Islands, and I lived there for 9 years before we relocated to Mississippi.
That's incredible. What brought you to St. Croix?
I was 21 and didn't really have a whole lot of other things going on in St. Louis. I didn't really have a job that was holding me there. I wasn't in school anymore. I had a friend who'd moved to St. Croix to go to school, and I went to visit them and was just like, oh, I could live here. And so I did.
That's awesome. So did you move with a job, without a job?
So I went to visit in November of 99, shortly before my 21st birthday. And then I moved mid-January of 2000, like right after I turned 21. And I moved on a Saturday. And started working at a coffee shop on Monday, which was kind of bananas.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that everybody in St. Croix speaks English, it is definitely not the English that I spoke when I moved to St. Croix.
And oh, so interesting.
The hardest time understanding anyone, which made a job in the service industry ridiculous. I don't know why I thought that was a good idea. But it made it made me catch on to the like language differences really quickly. And so I did that for a little while. And eventually I realized I really hated the service industry. And so I was sort of a beach bum for a couple of years and just sort of drew portraits, and like I provided childcare for my landlord in exchange for very, very cheap rent, which That's was great. Pretty and then, you know, had a couple kids and met my husband and had some more kids. Then we were like, oh, we really can't afford a family this large on an island this small. Pricey. And I had a cousin. My cousin lives in, well, she lived in Oxford at the time. She moved to Oxford around the same time I moved to St. Croix. And so she was like, you should come live here. It's clean and it's quiet and it's artsy and you don't have to take the kids back to the city. And so we moved to Oxford, Mississippi, sight unseen, with wow. three kids in tow and 5 months pregnant. And we've wow. been here ever since.
That's amazing. What was it like living on an island? Was it different than life here?
I miss it every day. I mean, it was expensive. And so we lived in a tiny little pink house with our three children, which was fine with our three children. But then once we found out we were having a fourth, we were going to have to move into a bigger place. And so that was going to be expensive. Utilities are really expensive. Mm. Everything's so insular that, like, you know, they can just make up prices and like nobody's gonna be able to do anything about it. And so utilities like skyrocketed 300% over the course of like a summer.
Ooh.
The tourism industry was really shaky, and so the economy was just really shaky when we were there, and that on top of the cost of just feeding all of us. Like people talk about how expensive it is to live here right now. And I'm just like, I was paying $7 a box for cereal in St. Croix in 2006.
Wow.
I was like, this is nothing. We were spending $150 every 3 days on groceries and our kids were tiny.
That's crazy.
I was still nursing one of them, so she wasn't even eating the actual food. But outside of the cost of living, the environment was really great. Like it's just 83 degrees and sunny 365 days a year. You're never more than 10 minutes away from the ocean. Mm. Everything's green all the time. Like the vibe is just a lot more laid back and a lot slower and a lot more chill, which actually takes a little bit of time to get used to when you come from the States. Mm-hmm. But then get used to it. You really don't want to have to go back. You don't want to have to go back to like rushing around and everything being go, go, go all the time. And so that was sort of nice. That was one of the nice things about moving to Mississippi, is that it still sort of has that laid back pace. We didn't go straight from island to St. Louis or island to DC, which is where my husband is from, which I think would have been an even bigger culture shock for the kids when they were little. They love right. it now. I wish we had moved to DC.
Of course. Well, grass is always greener.
Yeah.
So what was it like for you growing up? Did you live a creative life? Were you painting back then, or did that come later in life?
I've always been a pretty artsy kid. Mm-hmm. So, like, I grew up in the city, so there wasn't a lot of like nature or anything like that. And so like I drew pictures a lot. I would draw on the sidewalk. Because I grew up in the city, there was always like chunks of bricks and those like weird white gravelly rocks. And I would use those and draw on the sidewalk in front of my house. My mom always provided, you know, stuff for me to use to draw on. My grandmother used to keep her paper grocery bags and crayons and like the smooth white cardboard insert from her pantyhose container, which were my favorites because they were like perfect and white and clean and pristine. And so she would keep those for me to draw on. And the older I got, the more my mom was like, okay, this kid is really into art. And so she got me into art classes and she started volunteering at a African-American art gallery in St. Louis so I could just constantly be surrounded by art. And so by the time I got to be a teenager, I was just so used to being immersed in the arts all the time and like being able to draw and paint. Well, not paint as much because my mom was kind of a neat freak. So me and paint were not a thing that she was going to let happen. But I drew a lot, lots of color pencils, you know, things that were easy to clean up. And, you know, my family just made sure that I had that as an outlet. They made sure that I was exposed to that as much as possible. And so it just gave me the space to just be a sort of creative kid, without a whole lot of like guidelines and rules and like, you can't do art. And like some people's parents, you know, went through that, like, you can't make a living as an artist. But my mom made sure to see that, like, yes, you can. Like, there right. are people who are artists. There are people who just create art. There are people that look like you who just create art and live on that. And so, like, that was really important for me to see throughout my, you know, childhood and teenage years.
Yeah, that's such a gift that she gave you. That's great. So did you were you able to take lessons in school? But did art in school play a part in any of your education, or was it mostly extra?
I took every art class that I could possibly take in high school. Mm-hmm. And then I took art classes on weekends. So the gallery that my mom worked at provided art classes for kids. And so I took painting, I took photography, I took furniture painting. We painted murals around the city. Like, we did all sorts of things. And so my weekends were pretty much spent in art classes from the time I was in middle school until I probably graduated high school. And then the year that I graduated high school, before I went away to college, I was part of a program that did this huge mural in downtown St. Louis that was like a square city block. They'd boarded up some stuff, and they had like whatever those boards are that they put around construction sites. And so several artists were invited to create pieces downtown. And so I was one of the artists, and definitely the youngest artist. Everybody else was, you know, established in their 30s or whatever. And I was like 18.
Right.
Hey, painting this giant mural. And so that was really fun. So I definitely took all the art classes that I could in high school and middle school. I tell my kids all the time, I never took chemistry. I never took physics. I never took a foreign language in high school. All of those classes were art classes. And so after I graduated, I spent a year at the Art Institute in Chicago. And then after that, I was just like, this school costs a fortune.
Yeah.
We cannot afford to keep giving them a fortune every year. And so I left the Art Institute. And then shortly after that, I moved to St. Croix. So
other than the price, did you enjoy the Art Institute of Chicago? What was that like for you?
It was great to be around a bunch of people that felt familiar. Mm-hmm. Because even though like I was surrounded by artists growing up, I was not surrounded by a lot of kids who were into art. Mm-hmm. And so it was cool to be in an environment where everybody was sort of into the same kinds of things that I was into. Like, I wasn't the weirdo. Like, I wasn't the weird kid that dressed weird and drew pictures. Like, that just wasn't my reality anymore. And so that was really nice. I really appreciated the exposure to like the broader art scene. Mm-hmm. Like, St. Louis has a lot of art, but it's nowhere near like Chicago. Chicago's art scene is huge. And so it was really great to have that. It was great to have access to studios where I could be messy and like no one was complaining about me cleaning up because everybody was messy. And so, yeah, I definitely really appreciated that.
What did you think about Chicago? Did you feel like it was a big change from St. Louis?
Well, I have family in Chicago. And so I've been to Chicago lots of times growing up. And Chicago remains one of my favorite cities. I haven't been in years and years and years, but I've been saying forever that I need to take my kids because none of them have ever been. But I really love Chicago. I personally prefer Chicago to New York because it's a little smaller. Mm-hmm. It's a little less intense, but it still has the same like everything. Like, it just has everything, and it's always moving. It's always going 24 hours a day. It just isn't quite as giant, I guess, as New York. And so, yeah, I really love Chicago.
That's awesome. So when you went to the island to live, did your art change very much when you went from Chicago to the island? Did your surroundings change the way that you were creating?
Yes. So before I moved to St. Croix, I really feel like my art was more like copying types of things that I'd seen other people do, mm-hmm. and type of work that I'd seen other people do. At the same time, that may have also just been my age. I was 20 years old, and so like that's what I was doing. Moving to St. Croix made me push my art a little more about what I wanted to say with my work, as opposed to just recreating things that I'd seen. But honestly, the biggest change in my work came after I had kids. And like, so motherhood became a huge component of what my work looked like and what my work talked about and what my work represented. And so that happened while I was on the island, but it wasn't necessarily because of St. Croix itself.
This is Sarah Story, the Executive Director of the Mississippi Arts Commission. You are listening to the podcast version of the Mississippi Arts Hour. To have access to all Arts Hour interviews, subscribe to the podcast using your favorite podcasting app. You can also listen to the show on MPB Think Radio every Sunday afternoon at 5 p.m.
Deep South Dining is the show all about the culture of Southern flavor, from fried chicken and collard greens to shrimp and grits and a glass of sweet tea. Subscribe now to the podcast using any podcast app or download our MPB public media app.
This is an MPB Think Radio podcast.
Welcome back to the Mississippi Arts Hour. Today we're joined by Adrian Brown David, a visual artist in Water Valley, Mississippi. So glad to have you here, Adrian.
Thanks.
So right before the break, we were talking about your move to the island of St. Croix and how having kids actually changed your art and environment with children. You want to start talking a little bit more about that?
Well, before I had kids, like my life pretty much was centered around painting and sort of doing whatever I wanted to do, however I wanted to do it. But then children, you know, take up a lot of time, a lot of space, a lot of energy, a lot of brain power, just a lot of everything. And so my art practice really had to change. I had to be very intentional about the time that I had to do things and very intentional about my materials. Because things like oil paint don't work well with toddlers. It's not a good combination. I definitely learned that the hard way before I shifted things a little bit. And so it made me just more aware of how I produce work and how I use that time. And so I always say having kids made me work so much faster. Like I've always painted sort of quickly and worked sort of quickly. Like I have a very clear image of what I want in front of me and I know how to get to that point. But it was even faster. Like I had to come up with a routine for how I get things down, how I get things on camera, how I communicate things. Because I may only have 20 minutes, I may only have 10 minutes, like kids' naps might not line up, so I might not be able to work for, you know, 5 days or whatever. And so I just shifted a little bit with my material. So like I said, oil paint was not a thing I could do anymore. And so I started doing a lot of mixed media work, work that I could like put down really quickly with materials that would dry really quickly. I did a lot more drawing than I'd been doing for a while. I utilized my sketchbook a lot more because once I had, you know, 2 kids, 3 kids, 4 kids, like there really was just no time. And I homeschooled my kids and I've homeschooled them since they were little bitty. And so homeschooling takes up a lot of time on top of, you know, babies and toddlers and all of that. And so my sketchbook became a huge component of my practice. And so I had to think a little differently about my work. Like, my sketchbook work was the first time that I'd stopped doing figurative work, just because I didn't have the time to devote to that. And so I started doing these little doodles of tiny houses and these crazy, like, precarious conglomerations of tiny houses, because it was something that I could do quickly. You know, it kept my hand exercised, my eye, you know, trained, and all of those things that I needed to do larger work, even though I didn't have the time to do the larger work. Mm-hmm. And so that was a focus for years, while my kids were all little. Mm-hmm. I really just got back into being able to really paint, like, with oil paint in the last maybe 7 years. Let's see, my youngest is 12. So maybe in the last, like, 7 or 8 years, mm-hmm. I've been able to get back into my oil painting. But before that, there was a lot of drawings, a lot of color pencil drawings, mm-hmm. a lot of, like, pen and ink drawings, because everybody was so little, and that's what I could do after they went to bed, or while they were napping, or while they were doing assignments for school or whatever. And so, like, my experience with them has shifted the type of work that I do, the scale of work that I do, the subject matter of the work that I do. And so, yeah, they've had a huge effect on my work in all sorts of ways.
That's amazing. Yeah, did they, so were you showing or selling your work on the island, or were you just doing art for yourself?
I did both. I had shows while I was there. I had my first solo show when I was in St. Croix. I did a group show. They have a group show there every year that's part of a fundraiser for one of the private schools. Okay. And so I would do that one every year. And so, yeah, I did a few things. I was part of a calendar, which was, I completely forgot about until just now. Like, oh yeah, I had work in a calendar that year. Yeah, I did a few things there.
That's awesome. So how did your subject matter change when you had children?
So on top of, you know, right now my work is mainly comprised of portraits of my children or figurative pieces of my children. But before I could really get into painting really well, like, I did a lot of nature drawings, which are 100% because I spent so much time in the woods with my kids for homeschooling. And so we started doing forest school and farm school maybe 6 years ago. And so we would spend a full day out in the woods with friends, and kids would just explore and discover things on their own. And they pretty much had free rein. They've been going to the same spots in the woods for more than half their lives. Mm-hmm. And so they know those spots really well. They know the types of things that grow in those spots really well. And so while we were doing that, I would keep a journal, and that journal would have all of these drawings of things that I would find, that the kids would find. There was, like, little snippets of poetry in it, or, like, what the weather was like that day, or if the kids' personalities were weird that day. And so, like, I have a full year visual journal of our time outside here in Mississippi, and what we saw, and when things started to bloom, and, like, and so I can go back to that and reference it. But it became a big part of the drawings that I would show. So I would do bigger nature drawings with birds and mushrooms and flowers that were all local, that I had observed at some point in the woods with my kids. And I would incorporate that with, like, other drawings of my girls, and, you know, little bits of writing that I thought was significant. And so that was definitely a change. Like, being from St. Louis, nature was not a part mm-hmm. of anything that I was thinking about, really. Like, nature was scary. You
know? Right.
Going out in the woods, if you're from the city, you're not trying to go in the woods. Like, it's not a thing that anybody is encouraging you to do. So That definitely came with, you know, homeschooling my kids, being in a different environment, the things that my kids are interested in. So they enjoyed being outside. They enjoyed exploring things. They enjoyed getting dirty and like finding bugs and, you know, all the things that kids do when they're outside. My kids really enjoyed that. And so it became a part of what I created and how I created it.
That's awesome. So yeah, tell us a little bit more about what you've been doing this past year. So I actually heard about you when I moved back to Mississippi, I guess in November or December, because you were during the pandemic, you decided to do, or was it before the pandemic, you decided to do one painting a day for a year?
So I decided to do it in December, and like I asked my teenagers what they thought about this project. We were on a day trip to Memphis, and it was just me and my older two girls for whatever reason. And I'd had this idea, like maybe I'll do a little painting every single day. I just really needed some. I was like, I need something that I'm doing every day, because we had all been in the house for a year or whatever. And we were all just sort of floating around and doing whatever we could think of to do for the year that we were all stuck in the house. And so I was like, I need something that's regular that I could do every single day, that I can get into a routine of doing every single day. And so I had the idea of creating one small painting every day and then posting it on Instagram. I was like, what do you guys think if I did a painting a day, posted it on Instagram, and you know, let it go for $100. Like that seems like a doable amount of money. And so my oldest was like, Mom, that's a really good idea. I think you should do it. And so starting January 1st, I've been painting a 5x7 painting every single day. I have not missed a day yet. I'm on day 263, I think was today. Wow. And so I have not missed a single day. And the first day I posted the painting, January 1st, the first day I posted, it took 15 minutes for someone to buy it.
Wow.
The second day I posted, it took 30 seconds. And from the third day until now, it takes on average a second.
Wow.
And within that first second, I have three people. And so like, it's been really crazy. I definitely didn't expect that to be the outcome of it, but it's been really fun to watch. It's been really interesting to see where the pieces go. I've sent pieces to London. I've sent pieces to Canada. I think a piece ended up in Spain at one point. One person commented from Hong Kong and she was like, just send it to my parents in Washington.
Wow.
So it's been really interesting just to see the response that people have and how much people have enjoyed it. And lots of people are like, I haven't gotten one, but I really love just seeing it in my feed every day. And so I've really enjoyed that. I've really enjoyed people enjoying my work, even if they are just seeing it on their timeline every day. And so every day between 10 and 11, you can pretty much guarantee, unless something unforeseen happens, we have had several incidents that have made paintings late, but I have yet to miss one.
That's incredible. 263. That's awesome. And just in case people don't know, you share your Instagram handle?
Oh yeah, I'm at Adrienne Michelle. And so Adrienne is A-D-R-I-E-N-N-E and Michelle is M-E-S-C-H-E-L-L-E. No capital letters, no spaces.
And it is fun. I agree. I enjoy seeing it in my feed. And I'm on Instagram. It's cool. And you paint your children, right? Your children are the subject of all of these.
Every single one has been a picture of my kids, except for I think I painted one that wasn't my kid, but you couldn't see their face. And so it was just a profile. And occasionally I paint another kid with my kid if I have, but you know, 99% of the time it's going to be a picture of my kid. I have 10,000 pictures of my children, and so I figured I could find 365 of them.
That's amazing. And we talk a little bit about what inspired to paint your children, like, well, you know, why they have become the subject matter.
They're just here all the time. They're all because I homeschool, like, the people I see all the time. And so, like, it's been really fun, you know, capturing their growth as human beings. And so it started out with me painting my tiny, cute, adorable children out playing and being cute. But now most of my kids look like women, like adult women. Mm-hmm. And so that's what my subject matter looks like now. And so it's fun to actually watch my work change with my children, because I can't paint them the same way that I did when they were, you know, 8 and 4 and 6 and 10 or whatever. Right. And so, yeah, I actually really enjoy painting them, because they change so quickly and so much that my work has to change with it. And I really like that sort of evolution and change in the work.
This is Sarah Story, the Executive Director of the Mississippi Arts Commission. You are listening to the podcast version of the Mississippi Arts Hour. To have access to all Arts Hour interviews, subscribe to the podcast using your favorite podcasting app. You can also listen to the show on MPB Think Radio every Sunday afternoon at 5 p.m.
Hi, I'm Jason Klein from Fix It 101. If you ever thought about changing the doorknob or fixing a leaky faucet, some jobs just aren't that difficult, and yes, you can do it. If you want to find out how to do those things, listen to Fix It 101, podcast everywhere.
This is an MPB Think Radio podcast.
Welcome back to the Mississippi Arts Hour. I'm Sarah Story, the Executive Director of the Mississippi Arts Commission. And today we're speaking with Adrian Brown David, who's a visual artist based in Water Valley, Mississippi. So Adrian, we were talking about how your art and your practice has changed so much with the evolution of your kids and in what age they are. Can you talk a little bit more about that, about how that's just changed over the years?
Well, now my kids are 20, 18, 14 and 12. And so when I first started painting my kids, they were probably, you know, 10, 8, 6 and 2 or something. And so what their life looked like was very different than what it looks like now. So when they were all little, lots of their time was spent outside. There was lots of like twirly dresses and rain boots and, you know, them running through fields and exploring and discovering things. And so that's all really cute and it's all really whimsical. And, you know, that all feels really nice to paint because it's very cute and very whimsical. And then they hit 13. And it is not the same, it's not the same person that, you know, was wearing a twirly dress and rain boots and running through the fields. Like, they become very different people. And so capturing that shift from cute, fluffy haired girl to, you know, pre-woman stages of like attitudes and eye rolling and the body language difference and the clothing difference. Like, one of my kids got really into like super shiny lip gloss. And so like every picture I have of her, she's just got like the shiniest lips you could ever imagine. And so all of my paintings are of her are like these selfie style portraits with like super shiny lip gloss covered lip. One just got into really big earrings and head wraps. And so like all of the paintings of her became like big earrings and head wraps. And like, you know, the attitude starts to come out. Like when you pull out a camera, like immediately the face changes. And so like all of those things are captured in the work as my kids develop and the work starts to change. And so now even that has begun to change because I have two that are, one that's not a teenager anymore, one that's on her way out. She's lost the attitude because she's old enough to like understand what is happening in adult minds a little bit. And so like even that's now starting to change. And I have one just coming into the like attitude-y teenager thing, which is weird because she's the the main subject of the cute twirly dresses one, and she's not that kid anymore. That's not who she is. And so the work, you know, featuring her is starting to look different. And so it's just fun to watch the progress of my kids and then recreate that progress on canvas. And to really just capture and appreciate all of those stages, because it's so often that those stages aren't appreciated. Like, nobody appreciates their kid rolling their eyes at them. Like, nobody appreciates the time where your little girl, who's been your little girl forever, starts to want to be a woman. Like, that's not a thing that is celebrated often, but all of those things are important. And I feel like they are specifically important in girls and boys who are Black and Brown in America. Like, their changes are not appreciated at all. And so I really want my work to celebrate those things, even when I personally don't love every minute of those things. I know that it's a part of them becoming the women that they're going to be, and, you know, making space for themselves in the world and being able to express themselves and create boundaries for themselves. And as much as I sometimes just want them to, like, fall in line and do what I ask them to do, I understand that that's a part of their development. And so I like celebrating that part of that their development and capturing that part of their development in a really beautiful way, or in a way that I think is beautiful.
Yeah, that's awesome. It sounds like the practice of painting allows you to be more reflective as a mother.
It has definitely.
That's amazing. Yeah, that's really cool. So tell us a little bit about your show coming up at Southside. It opens in October.
Yeah, so October 3rd, I believe. It's either the 3rd or the 5th, but I'm pretty sure it's the 3rd. I have a solo show at Southside Gallery in Oxford, Mississippi. It's my first solo show at Southside. It's not my first solo show, but my first solo show there. And the show is entitled The Space Between. And so each piece is a celebration of that space between, say, girlhood and womanhood, that space between ideas and action, like that quick moment between one space and another space, that's often overlooked. That's what I wanted to focus on in this body of work. And so there will be 20-ish pieces.
Wow, that's awesome.
Portraits, all brightly colored, which is new for me. Most of my work is Black, white, blue, and yellow. So a lot of people know me for, like, Black girls in yellow fields with blue sky. And so this is a full spectrum of color. It's a super colorful show. I'm really excited about it. I'm really excited about, you know, showing the work and hoping that people get where I'm going with the pieces. And so, yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. So hopefully people come out.
It's going to be great. And, we talk a little bit about the size of the work in this, show.
So there's a variety of sizes. Most of them are fairly large. I prefer to work fairly large. So the smallest one is probably 15 by 15. And that's the tiniest one. The largest one is 48 by 48. Most of them are going to fall somewhere between, like, 24 by 24 and 24 by 36, but they're, you know, fairly large pieces, fairly large scale portraiture. Some of them are larger than life. Quite a few of them are larger than life size. And so, yeah.
That's exciting, especially for those who've been following your smaller work on Instagram and just the little intimate paintings. I think this will be a real treat for people to see a completely different perspective and just really get lost in a huge, big, attitude-filled piece of work.
So the fun part is a lot of these images, people probably have seen the tiny ones because I also use them as, like, my painting sketches. And so, like, images that I really like, I, like, dog-eared for lack of a better word, and like, okay, I'll revisit that one bigger. I want to do this one bigger. Like, I want to reimagine this one. I want to explore this one a little more. I typically don't work small. I don't love working small. And so like these tiny ones have been, you know, they've been something because they are little and they are. And so I've just been looking at it every day as like, this is my sketch. Like, this is my painting sketch for something that I want to do, you know, later. This is my practice for how to do this thing or this type of lighting or this type of skin tone, something quick and small that I don't have to really commit to. And then I can use that to translate into a bigger piece later that I'm going to spend more time on and like pay more attention to. But now I've had the practice and like, these are the types of colors that I want to use. This is the type of contrast that I want to use. These are the type of strokes that I want to see in this piece. And so they've been great for that. But typically I don't work 5x7. That's not, that is not my size. I like large scale paintings a lot more.
That's awesome. So tell us a little bit about the community of Water Valley. Have you found community in the artists and around Water Valley?
Water Valley is a weird little bubble of artists and writers and musicians that I did not even realize really when I moved out here. Like, I sort of knew because Water Valley does an art crawl every year. And so before we lived out here, I used to drive out to the art crawl. It's one night a year. And so I would drive out to Water Valley. And when we first moved to Oxford, Water Valley seemed so far away. I was just like, where in the world are we going? And so I would come out to art crawl and walk around and I was like, oh, this is cool. I was really mostly just being nosy and trying to see the insides of people's houses, which mm-hmm. a lot of people do at art crawl. And then, you know, after a few years of doing that, I had to convince my husband to move out here because he was not in love with small town living. He was just like, I don't know what we're doing here. And so it was difficult to convince him to move to a smaller town. Like, that was really difficult. And so I was like, we could get so much more house for so much less money. Mm-hmm. And so that was our main driving force. Like, I knew a couple of people that lived out here. But then once I got out here, I was like, oh, like, everybody over here does some sort of art. Like, yeah. Somebody's a quilter, somebody's a photographer. And so it was just like, oh, this is where all the artists live. Because it's so much cheaper than living in Oxford. That makes sense. Like, you're still close enough to drive, but far enough away to spend half as much on a place to live, I guess. And so, yeah, that's been really great. I have like a great little friend set out here. All of them are artists in their own right. More artists are moving out here every day. So
that's awesome. And there's a little grocery store and some restaurants. So it's not... A bookstore. There's still a bookstore out there, right?
Yeah, there is one of everything.
That's great. Yeah, that's all you need.
We have the one little grocery store, a little restaurant, a little bookstore.
That's awesome.
Everything's on Main Street.
It's a very, very cute town. So yeah, what else are you looking forward to?
So I'm kind of looking forward to getting a little bit of a break, even if it's just for a minute, just a break to breathe and think. I'm hoping to, you know, get out of town for a little while. Once the show opens, my second oldest is going to graduate from her military job training or whatever she's at right now. And so we'll go to Virginia for that. Hopefully get away for a little bit for Christmas. And then other than that, I'm really just looking forward to being able to paint whatever I want and, you know, utilizing the space that I have now to produce some larger things that I couldn't do before. Looking forward to spending a little time with my 12-year-old, who is my only homeschool child now. And so she spends a lot of time here with me. And so looking forward to hanging out with her a little bit more before she heads off to high school in a couple years. So yeah, you know, I'm simple. I'm easy.
That's awesome. No, it sounds great. Well, congrats on the success of your Instagram and the upcoming show at Southside. We look forward to seeing it. And do you have a website or anything else where people can find you, follow along?
I do. My website is www.adrianbrown-david.com. And Instagram, those are the only two places I'm at. I don't do any other social media.
That's so great.
Thanks for listening to this MPB Think Radio podcast. MPB depends on support from listeners, so if you can, please contribute today at mpbonline.org.
Hi, I'm Dr. Jimmy Stewart, Professor of Internal Medicine and Pediatrics at the University of Mississippi Medical Center. On the original Southern Remedy, we answer questions about all aspects of your health and share some of the latest medical information in the news. You can listen to the show on Wednesdays at 11 on MPB Think Radio, or you can subscribe to the podcast by searching for Southern Remedy on your preferred podcasting app.